Hey, I'm Kevin. Thanks for listening to our message. We strive each week to bring you relevant, practical, biblical teaching that meets you where you are. Hope you enjoy the message.
If you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21, we will be there a little bit today. Going to have some fun today. We're in between series, and so this is a prime time to jump into visioning of who we are, who we want to be in this next season, what kind of grounding down into what makes Water's Edge, Water's Edge, how are we a part of that, and what is God doing here in the church and God doing through us because we are the church. Very foundationally to who we are as a body of believers is that we believe everybody is called to be a minister. There's a priesthood of all believers, that every single person who calls Jesus Christ Lord of their life is called to minister in some way. Now, that may not look like platform speaking, so don't have a panic attack. All right, that doesn't mean public speaking, but that means in our daily lives and how we live our life, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are called on mission to go and make disciples, no matter who we are. What we've done, where we've been, that is a call in our lives. Here at the church, our vision statement is to love, to grow, and serve our community for Christ. And everything that we do comes out of that. How we make decisions on what we're going to participate in has to fit in one of those three buckets, ideally fit into two of those buckets. But everything has to fit in that. If it's not a part of that, then it's kind of, why are we doing that? Are we using resources for that inappropriately? What's going on? So really kind of trying to use that as a filter of how we operate here at the church. But it's bigger than that. We make it personal. It's not just what happens in the office or on the platform. Okay, we're going to love, grow, and serve. What does it look like to be moving as a body of believers to, when the opportunity arises, to love well, to grow, and to serve? And so I am in that weird spot of I'm trying to love, grow, and serve, but I'm also trying to facilitate loving, growing, and serving. That's kind of my job. And what we try to do is we organize the events, organize the opportunities that we have here at the church. And so we're going to delve into what that looks like for us today, but make it really, really personal. I want to ask a bunch of questions because I've been going through with a ministry coach for the last 2 years since my sabbatical, and I'm starting to pick up on what he's doing. It's taken me 2 years, but I'm starting to catch up. I'm a little slow sometimes, but I'm starting to catch up. Is all he does is ask like three questions. That's what he does, is ask three or four questions, and then I'm like, oh, this guy's so smart. He never even says anything. He just asked me a question. Right? But asking these questions are powerful and important, and sometimes the unasked question is one that leaves that weird, like, I just don't feel like I've participated. I don't feel like I've been heard. I don't feel like I've been involved because I didn't ask that question, or that question didn't get answered. And so what are the questions we're trying to answer here at the church, and how are we, and what questions are we asking? And so first question that may come to mind is, why in the world are we named Water's Edge? It's a fantastic question. Why would we change our name a while back, but why Water's Edge? That's kind of an interesting name. I was talking to someone, I went to a conference over in Fort Wayne area this week, and I said, what church you at? I said, Water's Edge? What is that? Great question. We believe Jesus meets people at the water's edge, how he does the whole time throughout Scripture. God has met people at the water's edge, whether that was cross at the Nile, meeting Moses there in a little basket, crossing the Red Sea, at the Pool of Siloam, if it was at the Sea of Galilee, God is constantly meeting people at the water's edge. And every time he's at the water's edge, he either redeems, restores, heals, or gives purpose. Every time. It's absolutely amazing. We did a 12-week series all talking about the water's edge, but I think as that gets farther and farther away, we kind of lose what that means. But every time God meets somebody, it's almost always at the water's edge or has to do something with water. And he redeems, he restores, he heals, and he gives purpose. And usually it's several of those. And so my preaching, if you ever wonder how in the world I get what I'm going to talk about, is when I'm creating a series or creating a message, I'm always going through is how do we bring out the redemption of Christ, the restoration of Christ, the healing of Christ, or the purpose giving of Christ? Always, because those four themes are just over and 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 over again. And all of our friends and all of our family need to either be redeemed, restored, healed, or given purpose. Can we agree on that? Like everyone we know, there's one of those four, there's a weak spot. Maybe I'm doing fine. I know what I'm doing. I'm full on charging. Okay, you got purpose down. But man, I am broken on the inside. Healing might be a place that you need to be. Or your friend's got a past. They got issues. They got stuff. But you know there's potential in them. You know there's, if they just made a decision for Christ, if they just changed a little bit in this spot, if God got a hold of them in this moment, there would be a restoration that would happen that would set them on a whole new path in life. That's what Jesus does at the water's edge. So that's why we're called water's edge. Not to mention the fact that if you look out, if that window didn't have blinds down on it, you could look at it and see a river. Right? So people always say, you're not on the water. If I can see water from my window, I feel like I'm on the water. And you also probably had to drive over three rivers on the way here today. So there's that. And there's a little thing called Lake Michigan. Just a little thing. So there you go. But mainly, it's not necessarily our location and our proximity to water that we're called water's edge. It's because of what Jesus does at the water's edge. So if you missed that series or you've always wondered that, I hope that's really helpful to you. But that's who we are. And so if you're talking to somebody in the community and you are doing one of our love steps, our love questions, who are you inviting to church? Well, why don't you come to water's edge with me? What in the world's a water's edge? It's where we believe Jesus meets us, redeems, restores, gives purpose, and heals. Huh. There you go. You've been sufficiently trained. There you go. All right. So, but where do we get that? That comes out of John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And I'm not going to read the whole of this. I could give a whole six-part message on this. Six weeks on John chapter 21. But we're just going to do 15 to 17 today. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt. Because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now the context for this is just a few weeks earlier, Peter had denied Jesus three times. The crucifixion of Jesus happens. Jesus rises from the dead. And Jesus is doing his after resurrection thing. But Peter is kind of aimless, and he's kind of embarrassed. He's the leader of this group of knuckleheads, but he also knows he's invalidated. He is messed up. He knows he's not worthy. And so there's this tension going on. And so into that moment, Jesus takes Peter to the campfire on the side of a lake. Now, if you want to have a deep conversation with somebody, go at sunset, have a campfire at the shores of a lake. Like, you cannot set a better, like, just, it's there. You know, the crickets are chirping and whatever's going on. You just got the moment, the crackling of the fire. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, do you love me? He speaks into him. Here's a guy who thinks he has ruined his chances. He's messed up his life. His future is broken. He left everything. If you follow Peter's life, he left everything he knew. He sold the nets. He got away from fishing to be a disciple of Jesus. And now he did that for 3 years and he screwed that up so much that he doesn't know that if he's valid to minister for Jesus anymore. Bowen, can you stop that, please? Thank you. And you have this moment, you have this time where Jesus is restoring Peter. He's not giving him a guilt trip. Some of you are going, man, I wish my parents would have went to the school of Jesus on how to restore somebody, right? And there's no guilt trip. Do you love me? Jesus, Peter's offended. Peter's hurt. Peter is like, oh, why would you say this to me? Whoa. All I asked, what was Jesus' words? Do you love me? You're reading into all of the offense, right? Peter, it's your problem that you're reading into the offense, that you've been offended, that you've got this stuff going on, that you've got these issues. Jesus wasn't like, you did this, and I can't believe you left me, and the stupid rooster, and I told you it was going to happen, and blah, 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 blah. He doesn't go into all that. He just says, hey, do you love me? Yes, Lord. And so I don't know why there's three. You can draw the conclusion with the three rooster crowings, the three denials, or the one rooster crowing, the three denials, or if it just needs time for Peter. We don't know if one of these questions is how close these questions are. Are they hours apart? Are they just sitting there for a long time and letting Peter just process this stuff? We have no idea. We read it in the scripture and it feels like it's boom, 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 boom. But that doesn't feel like Jesus. Jesus doesn't go boom, 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 boom very often with anything, right? And so how is he letting Peter ruminate on it? There's a fun word for you this morning. But Jesus restores Peter and sets him on mission. He redeems him. He gives him purpose in this moment. And it sets him on a mission that changes the world. And wherever we are, that's who we want to be as a church. We want to be a part of that. We want to be engaged in that. That we get to say, I met Jesus at the water's edge. He redeemed me, restored me, healed me, gave me purpose. Whatever I needed in that moment and set me on a different path. And I want to let everybody else know about that path as well. So that's what we're trying to harness here at the church and participate in. And how do we do that? By loving, growing, and serving. So, how do we love here? About a year ago, we started asking questions about loving. Loving at the church is about inviting everybody we know to participate in a service here at the church. Letting everybody know, hey, I think there's something amazing God has for you at Water's Edge. I think there's something amazing for you. Now, it doesn't have to be at this church. I am ecstatic if anybody goes to church anywhere. However, I think there's some amazing things here that we can do uniquely for your family, for you, for kids, for all that. I think we are uniquely situated to do some amazing things. But these love questions really take it from being just something that Jared can do or something on the platform can do to something that we are responsible for, that you are responsible for, that you're responsible for, that you're responsible for. And so we ask these questions, and when we ask questions, just like my ministry coach asked me, it makes me have to think about it and gives me ownership. And so if we ask the question, why is Water's Edge called Water's Edge? Now I have to take ownership. What did Jared say? Because Jesus does these things. He redeems, he restores, he gives purpose, and he heals. Okay, what are the questions? How do I love this week? How do I love in this moment? Who am I praying for? Who am I praying for is the first question we ask. And that takes the ownership of the love and the grow and the serve away from, somebody in the office will do it too. Who am I praying for? Who am I praying for? Who am I loving in this moment? Now, something serious that we need to know about prayer is that we don't pray at people. We pray for people. Lord Jesus, fix that person because they're an idiot. That's praying at somebody, right? It might be true, but it's not how we do that. Like, Lord, I know that so-and-so is broken right now. They're driving me a little nuts, and I need patients in this, but Lord, I know they're dealing with work issues or self-esteem issues or their body's broken or their marriage is struggling. I know all these things. I'm going to bring them up to you. See the difference? Instead of praying at somebody, Lord, fix that person because they're, instead of, I'm going to pray for them and lift them up in this moment. That's, we change our posture in how we do that. And just think about that even at your dinner table prayers or any of your prayer times. Are you praying for people? First question is, are you praying? That may be convicting enough. And the second question is, how are you praying? Are you praying at somebody? You're praying for somebody. Pray for people. Who are you inviting to church? Second question, who are you inviting to church? Now that puts that conviction back on us. I haven't invited anybody to church. Okay, well, that's not the way in which we want to answer that question, right? Who are we inviting to church? Why? Why would we ask that question? Because at Water's Edge, we believe that they can be redeemed, restored, given purpose, and healed. Believe it. Why are we inviting to church? Because we want that to happen in people's lives. Who are you talking to about Jesus? Who am I talking to about Jesus? How are these conversations coming up? Are we getting right there in that moment of the conversation where I could talk about Jesus and then I back off? You know that moment when the butterflies start to fly? I feel like this is a Jesus conversation, but I just want to answer the Bears, right? I want to say, baseball. No, but I feel like this is a Jesus conversation. I feel like if I just take out on a limb, and sometimes that gets really awkward. Somebody asks a question or something like, you know, I think this really is like a Jesus question. And somebody might look at you like you have three heads. Or they might say, how so? What does that look like? And the conversation starts. How do we talk about Jesus? Very simply. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have a seminary degree. I once was this, but Jesus. My marriage was this, but Jesus. My kids drove me crazy, but Jesus. And they still drive me a little nuts. All right? My family was struggling, but Jesus. Now, just because Jesus doesn't mean all those things are fixed, does not mean that your body won't break, doesn't mean your marriage won't be have issues, doesn't mean your kids won't act goofy, doesn't mean that you might not lose your job. But having Jesus gives you a core of identity and who you are that you can weather those storms in life. Be clear. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card in all the problems of life. So we've been doing those three questions for about a year now. And I started thinking, this came up in an elder meeting, as we really trying to say, hey, are we loving, are we growing, are we serving? And we've been working on this for a couple months now. But the questions that kept on coming back on this particular moment is, how are we growing? Are we asking any questions of ourselves and about our church, are we growing? And I thought, well, if I do three questions for love, why wouldn't I do three questions for grow? I had an epiphany. And so I want to start working into the language of our church. We've worked in the three questions of love, but how do we work in the three questions of grow? And if you're real smart, I bet you've already figured out we're going to have three questions for serve as well, right? So, because it's got to be three because I'm a pastor. So we got three questions for grow. What are those questions? We grow by inviting people to experience the love of Jesus, and we read Bible groups, life groups, and our annual women's conference. And there's other ways as well, but those are the big things that we do here at the church that really push growing. I would argue that serving in kids ministry and student ministry also makes you grow really fast too, because no one has any idea what they're actually doing. And so you have to stay ahead of the madness, you have to grow really quickly, whether you're a student or an adult. First question for this is, how are you growing in Christ? How am I growing in Christ? Well, I came to church once. Is that growing? Ooh. When we ask ourselves this question, we might not like the answer. It's right up there with, who are you praying for? How are you growing in Christ? My job is to give you tools in which you can grow. If Sunday morning is your moment of growth, we have a problem. And I was thinking about this because it's a problem I have in a different area of my life. Is that I am a tool giver. This is how you read the Bible. These are the contexts. This will mean more to you if you understand this particular historical note. I want to give you the tools to delve into the scripture, tools in which how to pray a little bit better or to deepen your walk with God. However, start thinking about this and thinking about my garage. I have all the tools to make anything I want. I got them all. Except a planer. I don't have a planer. I don't need a planer because I don't use the other tools. But I got a bandsaw. I got a table saw. I got all the drills. I got all the saws. I got all the I got so many hammers. You only have like two hands. I could barely hammer one nail down at one time. I don't know why I have like six hammers. But hey, you know, I got all the screwdrivers. They didn't come with instruction manuals, so I don't know how that works. No, I'm playing. But I got all the things. I can make all kinds of stuff. But I don't. You know what I do? I said do. You're going to laugh anyway. I might as well call attention to it. So, you know what I do? I watch This Old House. I'm like, oh yeah, that wainscoting is going to look beautiful in that home. I watch a lot of This Old House, right? Ask This Old House is even better because they tell you like how somebody else screwed up and you can watch and point and laugh at how they messed up their house. Watch a lot of it. That's like coming to church. You got all the tools. You just watch a TV show. Oh, that's pretty. That's nice. I feel like I could do that. I ain't got to do that. Right? Because why? Because I get to my own house and fear takes over. I don't want to mess up my house. I don't want to spend and mess up my own money. And I also don't, this is real fear, want to cut off my finger. About 3 years ago, Bo? 3-4 years ago, Bowen was standing 6 feet away from me when I cut off the end of my thumb. Yeah, it grew back, kind of. I'm like a starfish over here, but I got a nice scar. I cut the end of my thumb off because I was, I don't know, I'm me, and I did me things. I got all the tools. I messed up. I got hurt. I don't want to do it again. I watched video after video. There's a really cool little table saw that they do this with hot dogs. And you're cutting wood and you put a hot dog on the wood and it goes, and it won't even cut the hot dog. It somehow knows that it won't cut your finger off. I'm like, I need a screwdriver with that same thing in it. Okay. You can laugh at me. But church, I give you the tools. We take the tools. We go to all the life groups. We go to all the Bible studies. We got Bible study Bibles. Lisa Turkhurst just poured so many things. Beth Moore, I did them all, did all the homework, did all the things. I've watched so many videos. I podcasted. Whew, don't even talk to me. I'm learning about Andy Stanley here with the podcast. I got all the stuff. But we don't ever build anything. We don't put it into action because we have some sort of fear. What if they think I'm weird? I might do it wrong. It might cost me money, and I might cut my finger off. It's what it really is. And so all of our excuses on why we're not growing in Christ really comes back down to our fears. I'm not taking the step. I'm not making the move. I'm not doing these things that God has given me to do. My garage is full of all these tools, except they're just getting rusty. And I would ask you, about your faith and your walk with God. Have you collected all the tools? Are they just getting rusty? Who cares if you try to build something and the legs aren't perfectly? It's the first time you did it. Your first 87 conversations with people about Jesus are going to be wobbly. You're not going to know the answers. You're going to your way through those conversations, and that's perfectly fine. But folks, I wonder if we're just gathering knowledge and just consuming stuff and not ever putting it into practice. I gotta ask these questions. How are you growing in Christ? Who are you growing with? This is an important question. This is an important question. Important question. When I built the most stuff out of my garage, Paul was building stuff and Kevin was building stuff. And we're building things and we're like, hey, look at this thing I built. Hey, look at this thing I built. Look at this thing I built. Like, it was growing together. And the same thing applies to our Christian faith. We get together. This is why the We Read groups are so important, is that we go and read the scripture, we go and pray on our own, but then we come together. Let's say me and Cody get together on Thursday mornings and we say, hey, what are you reading? How's God speaking to you in the scripture this week? And Cody goes, I don't know, Jared, I didn't get anything out of it. Okay, why? Because my life is going crazy right now with my kids. We have a different conversation. Is God going to use that conversation? Yes. And then he reciprocates the same questions. That's how a We Read group works. But if we're not doing that together in community, we're missing out. If someone walked over to my garage and said, hey, Jared, doesn't look like your table saw's been used. Well, what gave you that example? There's 18 buckets of baseballs on top of it. I don't like your tone, right? But that's how that goes because, oh, and the same thing applies to our Christian faith. How's your marriage doing right now? It's a little messy. Why? I haven't given my wife the time of day for a month. Okay. Fantasy football drafts all working out for you? Man, I don't like that. Because we have priorities that are different and all these things go on and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But see how that, if we get in group together, two, three people, that tension, the permission to ask these good questions, that starts changing our lives. And then who are you investing in? Who are you trying to help grow? Who are you watering? Who are you helping weed? What are you doing in these moments? Third group of questions is we serve. We serve. We serve. We serve by serving the church in the local context here, the student ministry, clean team, kids ministry, building and grounds, doing all the stuff that the church has to do. But we also serve outside of these walls in amazing ways. There's a fantastic community team that does all kinds of things in this community. We've built great partnerships with the schools and the social workers there when people need help in sometimes really unique ways. We get to step in and be a part of that. That is an amazing, amazing thing. We do stuff at Christmas so families can participate in Christmas and continue to keep their integrity in the whole process as well, and dignity in the process. We facilitate those conversations and help people do that. I can go on and on and on about all the ways in which we serve. But sometimes we say, okay, that's going to be somebody else to do that. When that's not the question, is how am I serving? If I'm going to be someone who participates in Water's Edge Church, I love, I grow, and I serve. So who are you serving? It may be the food bank. It may be kids ministry. It may be students. It may be clean team. It may be a smattering of things. But who are you serving? Second question. And if you answer the question, who am I serving with? Oh, I don't know. Let's get to this question. This question will help you figure out who you should be serving. Who's on your heart and mind? When you read the scripture, when you're going about your day, when you drive past, when you listen to a commercial on the radio, and what sparks something inside you? What says, I need to investigate that a little bit more? Something just changes in you when a certain topic comes up. It may be water for Africa. It may be, I have no idea what would do. There's thousands and thousands of things in which you are uniquely made to have a passion point for. But what is on your heart and mind? Who is on your heart and mind? And that's how you find out who you should be serving. Does that mean that you have to go through a certain program here at church to do that? No. Just serve. And how can you use your talents for God? Third question, how can you use your talents for God? Each one of you is created very uniquely. You have different setups, makeups, gifts, passions. How can you use that for the Lord? What does that look like? And this goes back to the redemption part of what Jesus does at the water's edge. Redemption, or restoration part. If you think of, I have a friend right now who's restoring this really old truck. It's going to be super, super cool. But the only time he can work on it is like 10 o'clock to midnight at night. And so he starts working on this engine block at 10 o'clock to midnight. And I don't know how his family is sleeping in the house with that, but that's what he's doing. And so he's restoring this truck. Now the truck was okay, but it had rust spots and the engine wasn't running really well. And so he's meticulously going through this. He's doing all this. I could not do this. If I try to restore a truck, it might as well just blow up on the road. It would be a bad traffic hazard. However, he's got the talent to do this, and he's going through it. It's going to be brand new when he gets done with it. It's going to be gorgeous, beautiful, and he's going to have a blast with it. It's going to be restored. There's something in your life that probably had some rust, probably had some decay, probably had some stuff. You gave it to Jesus. Jesus does the restoration of that. And you remember who you were. And now you get to use who you were to affect somebody else that was like how you were. That is what restoration happens. Hey, I once was blind, but now I can see. You're blind. Let me take you over here so now you can see. That's why we have stuff in our past, things in our past. So often in church, we've been taught, squash that down. Don't tell anybody about that. You don't want anybody to know. Like, we got to cover our tattoos that we got. Like, oh, no, no, no. Yep. Wait a minute. That tells a story. I don't have any tattoos. That tells a story. That has a place marker in our lives that says, this is who I was, but now Jesus, and this is who I've become. When we have moments in our lives of, what have you been through? Maybe you've been through a really rough marriage. Maybe you had a rough childhood. Maybe you had a fantastic childhood. Maybe, I don't know what your past has, but God wants to restore what you've been through so that you can reclaim it and leverage it to lift others out of that same story. And sometimes we get caught in that mess, like, oh, that, I'm not there. I got too much. No, 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 that very baggage can be the greatest attribute that you bring to a conversation, you bring to a moment, has the greatest impact. So we got 9 questions now. I know that's a lot. We're not going to ask all 9 every Sunday morning, but we're going to try to start asking a smattering of these. It's a technical term. Who are you praying for? Who are you inviting to Christ? Who are you talking to about Jesus? Or inviting to church, sorry. Who are you talking to about Jesus? How are you growing in Christ? Who are you growing with? Who are you investing in? Who are you serving? Who is on your heart and mind? And how can you use your talents for God? These questions reverberate around us when we start to answer those questions. Going back to the grow, we're going to start a new thing. It's going to be a test, an experiment this fall. And it's going to be pretty exclusive. I want to train some people on how to do We Read groups on their own. And it's going to be limited. It's just going to be me and these people for the fall. We'll meet once a month and be trained on how to do We Read groups. I'm going to limit it to 8 people because I think if it gets bigger than that, it's going to kind of fall apart a little bit. So it's going to be exclusive, intentionally exclusive. It goes well. Don't worry. There'll be a springtime that you'll get to sign up for that. I was hesitant to talk about it today because I didn't have all the dates all ready to go. But I want us to think about this. I want us to feel like, hey, I can have these conversations. I've been trained in this. I think I did a pretty substantial training today with this. But there's going to be more. I believe in this. I believe this is a vehicle that really transforms our church. And so if that's something that interests you, be paying attention to that in the next couple of weeks. But this will be open to students, to whoever, but it's going to be the first 8. I might slip in a 9th there if it's a couple that wants to do it. That's where we want to be. And I'm excited about it, excited about what it's going to be for our church. Folks, I believe in who Water's Edge is. I believe in what we can do. I believe in the ministry that we have in this place. I think Jesus has uniquely put us here in a certain place in a certain time to affect this certain community in ways in which nobody else could. There's giftings, there's conversations, there's people that you have relationship with that I will never have relationship with, nobody else has relationship with, but you can affect their eternities for Christ by who you are and how you live out your faith in their lives. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for who you are, what you're about, what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we ask for your touch and your anointing. Lord, I pray that you would move us to take a step from one of these questions today, that you would call us to something greater, something better, something bigger in our lives, that you would give us the strength to get over some of our fears that keep us from asking these questions of ourselves or of others, that you would give us a community of believers that would help us take our next steps in faith and draw closer to you and draw others closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for joining us at church this week. And a special thanks to all those who continue to support our mission through your generosity. You too can support our mission to reach, grow, and serve our community by giving on the website or through the app. To make sure you never miss out on a message, be sure to subscribe and don't forget to hit that share button to spread the word. Have a great week.